Welcome to the original Italian-American podcast, Keeping It Real with Frankie D, and the home of the Italian-American moment at ItalianAmericanLife.com. My guest today is the author of Cappuccino Chronicles, An American Journalist's Decade in Rome, John Henderson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be on.
Great to have you, John. Living a decade in Rome, an American living in Rome, you must, I'm gonna imagine you're the envy of many Americans, many people that talk about it, think about it, dream about it, but don't actually do it.
Exactly. I get a lot of letters asking me how I did it, how can they do it, especially in this political climate over the last 8 years. I've had a lot of inquiries. People are really fed up with America. People who dreamed about Italy, Italian Americans who want to move here and get close to their roots. And it seemed to increase right after Biden's debate with Trump. People started writing on the wall and said, John, I got to get out of here before the country goes down the drain. It's something that I avoid. I never had any Italian roots here. So it's something that I always wanted to do. And I also, to be fair, I don't have any ties to the United States. So it was a lot easier for me to live my dream. And my dream came very late in life. It wasn't a lifelong thing.
Well, it's never too late to dream, and it's never too late to realize the dream. So going back a little bit, so your career, you were a sports writer, and you were a huge traveler. And I don't know if you were such a big traveler because of your work, or you were just a traveler in general.
No, I was a traveler in general. This is the thing. I've wanted to be a sports writer since the fifth grade. My lifelong dream wasn't to live in Italy. My lifelong dream was to be a sports writer. So when I was entering my career, going through college, training to be a sports writer, building up as much experience as I could, I figured after upon graduation, I would get a job at a newspaper and work my way up, kind of like a minor league baseball player would the minor leagues, the big leagues. And he would continue on until he made the biggest newspaper he could in the country. But then my senior year in college, the University of Oregon, I met a high school classmate at a party my spring term. This was 1978, and he had just spent 2.5 years living and traveling in Southeast Asia and the South Pacific. And his stories about the adventures and the freedom and the transformation that he experienced as a guy were all the things that I wanted, because I was very insecure in college. I couldn't go to a 7-Eleven alone, a movie alone, forget traveling alone. And this guy was worldly, he was independent, he was all the things I wanted to acquire. And I thought to myself, what's the hurry in getting into my career? So about a week later, I bought a ticket to London and I packed a backpack upon graduation. I traveled around the world for a year alone. And after that, I got a travel bug, and the travel bug just got getting bigger. And once it got bigger, once I got into the newspaper business, became a sports writer. And in sports writing, you get more days off, more vacation time than the average American. I would get 2 or 3 months, about 2 months off every year, because I would work an entire season without a day off. So during those 2 months, I travel overseas. And during that time, I developed a side gig about travel writing. And that propelled me into kind of a quest to do that full time. To go a little more specific, how I ended up in Italy was in 2000. I covered the Sydney Olympics. And I was getting burned out on sports writing, even though I loved the Olympics. But I came back and I was covering Major League Baseball for the fifth straight year. I got burned out. And I was really heavily into travel writing, and I wanted to figure out how I could be a travel writer full time. We had a guy in our contract at the Denver Post. We could take a year sabbatical and do anything we wanted, leave the paper, our pay, and our job would be guaranteed when we returned. You could do anything you want. You could be an ashram. You go to ashram in India. You could take a year's worth of studies. You could sit around and just trim bushes if you wanted. We had a guy in our office, an Italian American, who spent 6 months of his sabbatical in Italy. And we went out for lunch once. He told me how great Italy was. I had just come back the 2 years earlier from a trip to Italy, my first in, oh my God, 20 years probably. I hated Italy the first time I went. In 1978, when I traveled around the world, it was hot, it was crowded. I got really burned out on art, and I really hated Rome. It was so hot and so filthy and crowded, and I had no desire to visit Italy. Well, in 99, I gave it a second chance and really loved it. Really loved Rome. And then when this guy told me about living in Italy, I said, you know what? Where would be a good place for me to be a full-time travel writer? And I thought Italy would be perfect for a number of reasons. One, it was centrally located. I could travel around Europe, North Africa, the Middle East, pretty relatively simple. It was pretty cheap back then and still is fairly cheap. But in 90, in when was it? 99, it was really cheap. And I thought the language would be easier to learn than, say, French or German. That was my big mistake. And I had a girlfriend as a who was a radio reporter in San Diego who was burned out on her job. So I took her to the Bahamas for her birthday, and I said, I gave her this long poster tube. And she opened it up, and it was a poster of St. Peter's all backlit. And she says, "What's this?" I said, "Do you want to move to Italy for a year?" And she was really hesitant at first, but I talked her into it. We did a fact-checking mission that February of 2001, and we said we can do this. We did all the fact-checking, we did all the price analysis, and so we moved there for a year and a half, and it was the best year and a half of our lives. It was also the hardest, but it was our best. And when we came home, when we came back in 2003, we vowed we were going to move back to Italy for good. And so she left. She came back to Denver with me and moved back to Italy in 2007. And I couldn't get back, so we broke up in 2010. And then I saved my money and moved back in retirement in 2014.
Very nice. Yeah, it's an incredible city. It is, I was in Rome last year, just for a day, and it is crazy. I mean, it's just, now mind you, I'm not in the neighborhoods. You're in the touristy sections. Well, the touristy sections are insane. There's just a million people all over the world. There's garbage, there's graffiti. There's a lot of English speaking, and there's a lot of foreigners working these places. Those are the tourist areas. Those are
Which
the.
month were you there? What month were you there?
I was there like the last day of May in 2023, and like you said earlier, it was hot. It felt like 100 degrees. And another thing, I had been to Rome myself. I spent 5 months in Rome. So the Vatican, Rome is an incredible, incredible city. I advise anyone, you're going to go to Italy one time in your life, especially an Italian American. I say go to Rome and then go to where the family's from. If you could do that, you accomplished everything because Rome is unbelievable, incredible. Being Catholic, I mean, that's it. That's the heart of it. That's the capital, the Vatican. The history, everything. But I had done this so many times, all these places. I sound snobby, but like I really didn't need to see him again. And I only had to go to Rome because the flight was too early and I had to get back in Rome and spend the day before sleep there. But the neighborhoods, that's a whole other thing. Your experience, you're living in neighborhoods. You're amongst the Romans, right? You're not living,
No. I live in a place called Monte Verde Nuovo, which is the new section of the Monte Verde Nuovo neighborhood, as opposed to Monte Verde Vecchio, which is up the hill. But my neighborhood is huge. I got 90, we have 90,000 people in my neighborhood alone. But no one, there are no tourists, there's no hotels, there's no touristy restaurants, there's no tour guides, there's no guided tours of any kind. Hardly anyone speaks English. If you don't speak Italian here, you're going to starve because there's no one going to help you. And my old neighborhood was Testaccio, which is across the river. And it's the same way, same thing. It's a more historical. They've got the big slaughterhouse there, the biggest slaughterhouse in Europe until they closed it in the 50s. And they get some food tours. But again, it's a smaller neighborhood, self-contained, beautiful piazzas. But again, it's all locals. No tourists just don't go down there. So you're in with the working class Romans, the ones that have the worries about their salaries and the corruption and the bureaucracy. And granted, I'm retired, so I don't have to worry about a lot of that stuff. But you see the you can see how Romans handle adversity in everyday life. And I think they handle it much better than Americans do. They have a celebration of life more than Americans because they value the simple things, the family, the friends, the spare time, the great food, the great wine. Their weekend in Sardinia every August. They don't worry about things they have no control over. And one of those things they can't control is really the salaries. And I know it sounds strange, but they really don't. 75% of all businesses in Italy are family run. So by the time you're 10 years old, you know what you're going to do. You know what you're going to do for a living. But I think the people here are the ones that I hang out with, the ones I go to, I see in the bars and the birrificios, really nice, kind, wonderful, sweet people who, despite their worries, really are enjoy life. You'll never see Italy, you'll never see Italy among the happiest countries in the world list, but you get to know the people and they're very pleasant to be around. You don't sense the tension, you don't sense the frustration.
Do you think that being retired, so moving there is difficult enough? Well, I mean, obviously, you're moving to a foreign country, just everything, every part of it is difficult. That's why, lots of people, they think about it, but you actually, it's almost like you had to work. It was a job to be able to pull this off. But being retired or not being retired, that's probably half the battle, correct? I mean, you didn't have to look for employment, you didn't need to make money.
That's a huge, Frank, that's a huge point. I didn't have to worry about finding employment. I didn't have to worry about how am I going to make ends meet? Because if you're a foreigner trying to make a living over here, it's really tough. When my girlfriend at the time and I moved back to Denver, I told her I would not move back until I found a job that I could live on. I do not want to move to Rome and have to worry about money because I don't care where you live in the world. If you don't have to worry about money, you're not going to like it. And I knew a lot of Americans, expats who lived in Rome who really struggled, who didn't like it because they couldn't do the things that I can do. And so I just came here with a big pile of money from retirement and just set myself out a budget. For me, the biggest hassle was just all the paperwork and the bureaucracy and trying to get legal.
Well, I mean, besides that, just like, what we take for granted here, and it's a pain in the butt here, getting Wi-Fi at your apartment,
Oh,
telephone,
yeah.
all that kind of stuff. I mean, how do you pay
Yeah.
electric bills? I mean, are there electric bills?
Yeah, the one problem about Italy is that it's very backward. One thing about Rome, it's very backward technology-wise, computer-wise. You don't get, it's very difficult to get auto pay. Everybody still pays their bills to the post office like they did in the 19th century. When I moved apartments from Testaccio to Monteverde, it took my cell phone company 6 weeks to transfer my cell phone. Or my computer, my Wi-Fi, not my cell phone, my Wi-Fi. And I got charged that 6 weeks because that's what how long it takes them to set it up. Banks, get salaries, a bank was difficult because they only take cash. They're not going to take a cashier's check. You got to get cash to give them to establish an account. I always tell people to move over here, you need a solid advisor, somebody here who's been here who can answer basic questions, and you're going to have 1,000 when you're going to come over here, before you come here and when you land. And there was a couple here, a couple from Washington, D.C., from Rhode Island, and they worked for the State Department. One worked for the State Department, the other one worked for FAO, and they'd been here for 17 years or 15 years at the time or so. And so they were a huge, huge sounding board for me. They answer a lot of questions, including the basic ones. Like, I'm a big Roma fan, AS Roma soccer fan. And about 3 months before I was going to leave, the Roma fans had a huge, horrible racist incident in Milan. They were making monkey sounds at one of the Milan players. And racism is my number one deal breaker. I did not want to go to a city where my club was known as a racist club. I knew Lazio, this crosstown rival, were known as fascist and racist. They had a well-worn reputation. And I seriously thought about pulling the plug on the trip. And the guy, my advisor, he says, "John, you were year and a half on your sabbatical. Did you ever meet a racist?" I said, "No." I said, "Well, the only people that are making those chants, there's a small, minute portion of people, and the rest of them were denouncing them. They were distancing themselves. The club was, so don't worry about it." But that's the kind of thing you need to live here. You got to have a sounding board. To come here without any advice is going to be really frustrating. You're going to make a lot of mistakes.
And I think you need a lot of patience personally,
Oh yeah, patience is huge. You can't
not the quick
come here with
process.
American men Frank, you can't come here with American mentality. You can't come here and think, "Well, why isn't this done? Why I called you here yesterday. Why aren't you here tomorrow? Why do I have to wait in line 45 minutes to pay an electric bill? My what do you mean I got to wait 3 weeks for my Wi-Fi, and then it's a 4th week and a 5th week and a 6th week." You got to have a lot of time in your hands. Also, if you're driving, you need a lot of patience to find parking spots, because this city was built for horse-drawn carriages. It wasn't built for 1.5 million cars.
And
And the
speaking
streets are
of,
narrow. There's no parking lots.
for sure,
It's
do
yeah.
you
It's
have a
very,
car?
very difficult.
Do you have a
No,
car?
I don't drive because driving would add about 20-25% to my budget, and I had a very strict budget. And living in Rome, even though the public transportation was probably the worst of any capital in Europe, is better than anything out west where I'm from. So I don't really need one. I live in the middle of the city. I can get from here to Centro Storico in 15 minutes by public transport and back. I can time every arrival around the city accurately using public transport, as long as the bus arrives. A lot of times they don't. But
Do you
I
use the
often.
metro as well?
Yeah, the metro, it's terrible. There's only th three lines, and the third line that was just built is in the eastern residential area, which no one takes. It's very, very crowded, a lot of pickpockets, but it's there and it's reliable. It's still cheap. I don't know if I should say this, but I got a year's public transportation for only $250. Now, how much does it cost in public transportation in Chicago for a year using the L?
I would assume a lot more.
Yeah, well, in London, it's over. One guy told me he pays $5,000 for a
Wow.
year. Now, he lives outside of London. He commutes on train. $5,000 is a lot of money. 250 is nothing.
Right.
So
Hey,
it's very cheap. It's a very inexpensive city for an American.
educate us. Okay, there's the two soccer teams, Roma and Lazio. Is
Right.
Lazio located in the city of Rome as
Yeah.
well?
Yeah. It's the both in the city. Rome's training grounds in this is in Roma Sud on the south end, Lazio's on the north end.
Okay,
Roma.
so is it divided then? Like you're either one or the other, nobody's for both.
Yeah. No way. It's like Yankees, it's like Cubs, White Sox.
Cubs,
Exactly.
White Sox, exactly.
Exactly. But the difference is the difference, Lazio is more considered the provincial team, the team that's out in this periphery in Lazio. The name of Rome's region is Lazio. So if you go outside of Rome, there's more Lazio fans. Rome is more considered the city team. Lazio was the first team established. Roma was established in 1927. Lazio was established in the 1910s or so, and that was Mussolini's team. So they have a history of fascism. So One of the questions you have when I meet somebody from Rome says, "Oh, you're from Rome?" I said, "Laziale or Romanista?" And there's always an answer. Always. Even they don't call it soccer. They're one or the other. And you automatically characterize each other.
Is your neighborhood of 90,000 mostly fans of the Roma team?
No, it's mixed. It's mixed. Completely mixed. The Stadio was 100% Roma because that's where Roma was first established when they first signed the contract to establish the team. There's a Lazio bar up the street from me and a Roma bar around the corner from me. And we all get along. It's not like we're Republicans and Democrats. I've got a lot of Lazio friends. And I have no right to call Laziale fascist after we've had three or four incidents ourselves. So there's a coexistence that's pretty healthy.
And do you go out to watch every game?
Oh, yeah. Not every game. I go to three or four a year. There's a soccer pub in Centro Storico near Piazza Navona called Abbey Theater Irish Pub. And it's a sports bar. And it specializes in Roma games. And there's a room upstairs. They have a big screen TV and the sound. And all the Roma fans go there to watch the games who can't either afford to get a ticket or don't want to hassle with a ticket. They're selling out every game now since they hired Jose Mourinho 3 seasons ago. They've been selling out every game. He got fired, but they're still selling out. So it's hard to get a ticket now. It's easier to go to a pub with your friends, drink beer, watch the game on a big TV. And then afterwards, you're in the middle of Centro Storico on a Saturday or a Sunday night. And you can go to other places, have dinner, go to another bar. It's really fun. It's really a blast.
So, John, I got to ask you the cliche. Are you living la vita, la dolce vita?
Yeah, I am. This is the happiest I've ever been. I'm 68 years old. How many people are 68 say this is the happiest they've ever been?
Not many.
Part of it's because I'm retired, but also because I'm in an area that really oozes tranquility. Tranquilla is one of my favorite Italian words. The biggest stress I have in my life is getting enough foam in my cappuccino in the morning. Really, it's really like that. I love the people. The people are nicest I've ever been around. I've been to 111 countries and nobody matches Italians. And that's from Sicily to Alto Adige. I love them all. Every day I see a new bar or restaurant I want to visit. I meet new people from all over the world every day. The Romans are nice. I got a great home. I have no financial worries. I can go to art exhibits. I love hanging out at my little bar with the baristas and complain about Roma with my cappuccino and cornetto. You know, it's a lovely lifestyle, and it's one I'm not going to give up. I will die here. I'm not moving back.
That was my next question. If you ever were moving back,
no, I'm not going to. No way. I'd be. You talk one question we have when you get together with expats in Rome. Said, what would you do if you had to move back to Rome? If you got deported or something, your visa ran out, and you couldn't renew it. And we all say the same thing. We'd be devastated. Absolutely devastated. It's not just a knock at the United States. It's really this love and the tie we have with Italy that you just want to break. And I was in America for 11 days in last month, and I couldn't, I missed Rome. I missed Italy every day. I couldn't wait to get back. Mainly, but one reason is I can't get a decent cappuccino in the United States. And also, you couldn't get a glass of wine for under $18, for God's sakes. Oh, my God, I can go to my corner, my Intertech, and I can get a great bottle of Montepulciano for about €8. Really good one. I mean, not top of the line, but it's good table wine. You know, I can get a half liter of wine in a small trattoria for €7. It could be a Pecorino or a Chianti or... And it's good wine. It's decent. You know, in America, you pay €20 for a half a liter of house wine. It's lousy Merlot. You get a headache in 3 hours.
Yeah, no, Italy is a, been there many times. It's a beautiful, beautiful, I always said it was magical. It's a magical place. It just, you put everything together with the scenery, the life, the people, the culture.
Yeah, Frank, I ask Italians, I said, we haven't even talked about the beauty of the country and the beauty of Rome. I asked Italians, in your opinion, what is the ugliest city in Italy? Because I haven't found a really ugly one. And they have a hard time coming up with one. A lot of them say Latina, which is a town on the near the coast south of Rome that Mussolini built. But Mussolini built a lot of towns that are really nice. That's nothing like, I mean, that's nothing like what I would call an ugly town. Romans call Turin the Detroit of Italy because of Fiat. And I tell them, you have no idea what Detroit's like. Turin has nothing in common with Detroit except a car factory.
Yeah, I don't think the word ugly and Italy ever comes into the same
No.
sentence because you're right. I mean, you could take the smallest, almost abandoned town in southern Italy. It's still beautiful in its own way.
Because you know what? Because it was so it, this country's so old, and they built these historical centers that didn't have car. They didn't have cars back 2,000 years ago, and it's all pedestrians. And every town has one of these. We have a blog called Travolazio, which is dedicated to day trips from Rome. We go to all these little villages around Lazio, and every single one of them has a little central historical district. We can wander around these little alleys, and there's cute little trattorias and Anotecas and little gift shops, people sitting on the corner gossiping, locals, no tourists, flowers blooming. Every town is like that. Now there's a modern city around, there's modern towns and houses and apartment buildings around it, but they all have this historical presence. And also after the sack of Rome, a lot of towns were built on mountaintops, on hills to prevent it against all the invading raiders who were taking revenge on Rome that after they got their asses kicked by Rome for 1,000 years. And so you still have those hill towns that you can go to. You enter a gate and you have this fairy tale lands going up to the heavens. There's dozens of them. It's spectacular. I'll live here the rest of my life. I won't get all of them.
Well, that's great. It's great that, I could tell, obviously, you come across this as genuine feelings of passion and you love it. And God bless that you were able to, fulfill these dreams of yours. And like I said, you're living it every day. The book, The Cappuccino Chronicles, very interesting book. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's a great book for everyone because it's so interesting, but especially helpful for any American that has even a small thought about, hey, I wonder what it's like to move to Italy and live in Italy. It's a perfect
Yeah,
book.
it's it. Thank you. I think it's different than a lot of books on Rome because I really want to tear the veneer off the facade of Rome and show readers what it's really like. Because there is a negative side of it. And I wanted to point that out. That once you get past all the beautiful piazzas and the great food and wine, there is a bureaucracy and a struggle and a hassle to live here that people don't realize. And I think anybody who wants to think about moving here should really read the book and see what they're getting themselves into. And if they don't aren't planning on moving here, but just like Italy, should just read it just to be interested, just to show the inside of something that they don't experience in America. You
Well, that's
know, you
just
don't,
it. It's a
you know,
very.
in America, I didn't 11 days. I didn't see a spot of litter in America, nothing. And I was in New York for three of the nights. I didn't see any litter in New York. The garbage in my neighborhood got so bad even a year or so ago that I often compared to my street, which is a middle class street in the middle of Rome, like an alley in rural India. I literally had to walk onto the street because there's so much garbage bags on the sidewalk because the dumpsters were overflowing with garbage bags. So the garbage company didn't pick it up often enough. I
And
mean,
that's
it's
the
there was videos of wild boars fighting seagulls for garbage in the middle of the city. So Rome's got a lot of problems, but hey, what city doesn't? You guys have the White Sox.
Exactly. No, that's the beauty of the book. It's a very honest portrayal of an American's experience for 10 solid years, which is a very long time living in Rome. So, where do we find the book?
Amazon.com, just Amazon.com and type in the Cappuccino Chronicles and it'll pop up.
Okay,
1895.
highly
And
advise.
also the ebook will be launched tomorrow. So if you prefer an ebook or Kindle, it'll be on tomorrow, and I'm going to have a promotion for it'll be on for 99 cents tomorrow.
Okay.
So look for it there. Look for it there. At some point tomorrow, I'll have it on for 99 cents.
Okay, wonderful.
Just anybody who buys it, just please leave a review. And be
Sounds
honest,
good.
I can take it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, John, thanks for the interview. It was a pleasure talking with you. Like I said, I really enjoyed the book, a wonderful read. And hopefully one day I can have a cappuccino with you in the morning in Rome.
Frank, next time you're in Rome, come on down. I'll show you a Rome you haven't seen before.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate it.